the hardest working man in internet radio is my father, George Wilder Jr., and here he is.
All right, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show on this wonderful and cold, blistering cold Martin Luther King Day. It is cold. I mean, it is totally out of the box. I could say to myself, or I can say that this is the coldest time I've ever experienced it in Chicago, but that would be lying. But this is close to it. You know, it's blasting out there. It is cold, and it's been like this for a few days now. And, you know, and it's going to be going on for some time, according to the weather reports. But it is cold. If you're out there, if you're thinking about getting out there, whether tonight or tomorrow or sometime in the future, and it's still winter, bundle up. Bundle up. I see a lot of these young girls out here bundling up because they have to. They have to put something on their heads. But, hey, wow, it is really, really blasting and blasting cold. So take my advice. Take others' advice and bundle up. Keep yourself warm. Keep yourself safe. Keep yourself alive because this weather is taking lives. Taking lives. It is blistering cold. At least here in Chicago it is. And in some other places, but I'm pretty sure it's not like this all around the world or all around the United States. But if you're lucky enough to be in warm climate, good for you. But in Chicago and in the neighboring states, it's cold. It is very cold. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago, cold Chicago, bitter, biting, frigid, the George Wilder Jr. Show. Also, look me up on Blog Talk Radio. Look me up right here. Follow me on, excuse me, maybe it's a bitter cold. I don't know. It could be. Right here on Blog Talk Radio, follow me. Facebook. There's another website that I'm in called Cold Coffee Cafe. It's pretty good. I met some wonderful people on there. And if you can, check out that website. It's pretty decent. It's pretty good. It's pretty, especially if you have a book or something. They're good at pushing your books for you, and that's great. They haven't asked for any money yet, but I'm just waiting. Okay, all right. Let's move right along if we can. It is cold, man. It is super duper cold, biting cold. Bundle up if you're out here in Chicago. Bundle up. All right. This is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. During the weekend, I was on another Block Talk Radio show host, a sister in talk radio. And she was very, very sweet. She was very, very kind. Let me see. I wrote some stuff down. Let me see. It's called The Road to Stardom. Check that show out. It's very, very, she was very, very helpful. I mean, I learned a lot, even though she's been on, what, 3 or 4 years, and I've yet to be on 2 years, so I've learned a lot from her, and she was very, very sweet. I didn't quite get her name, but I do know the name of the show is Road to Stardom Radio on Block Talk Radio. And I'm going to be on that show. I am going to be on that show talking about my book, Jesus Christ, Son of Man, Returned. A lot of people getting the wrong idea about that book. It's an e-book. It's totally fiction. I am nowhere near religious. It's just something that I had to write. I had a dream when I was a kid. It's totally fiction. Don't get me wrong. I am not a part of any religious cult. Nothing whatsoever. Okay, it's a good book. It's a good fictional book. It's almost like watching, if you should watch like the Ten Commandments or The Robe or The King of Kings or The Son of God, any of these kind of movies. It's like a movie almost. I try to make it in a way like a movie, you know. So I am nowhere religious. I'm nowhere near being a good Christian or a good Baptist or any of that. You know, it's just a book. It's just something that I've written. If you go to my website, you will find that out because everything else up there is has nothing to do whatsoever with being religious. I have a book up there called Echoes of My Sins, nothing to do with the church. It may have nothing to do with what's inside of the book, the content. But believe me, it's just, if you read the prologue of the Son of Man book, the Jesus book, which is totally fiction, it's totally made up by me. I didn't have a premonition to do this. It was just something I wanted to do. I wanted to make up something or expand on something that so many people believe in. So many people out there who believe in this, you know, and I hope it's purely entertainment. Put it that way. Let's get back to her show, Road to Stardom. And she has enlightened me on a lot of things. I will be on our show next Sunday at 3 p.m. I will talk about my book, one of my latest books, on its RT show. Okay, Road to Stardom. It's great. It's wonderful. I'm giving this show a plug because they gave me a plug. They also decided to, well, she also decided to follow my show. We're following each other's show. So I will be on her show to talk about one of my books, the Jesus Christ, Son of Man, Returns to Earth. Okay? It's totally fiction. It has nothing to do with my beliefs or my religion. I'm not religion. It's just a book. Just like The Landlady from Hell. It's just a book. You know, it's just a book. Or one of my many short stories and essays. You guys check that out and leave me a review, okay? All right. This is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. Happy Martin Luther King Day, everybody. We're going to be in and out talking about Martin Luther King and how far we have come since then, if anywhere. If things have gotten better, things have gotten worse, or there's just no hope in America, you know. So, and my guest for the day on the show is Jeff Bearden. I'm believing it's Jeff Bearden. He's a youth motivational speaker and a Southern Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame member, okay? And he wants to hopefully enlighten us on teenagers, bullying, isolation, and a whole host of other things. Depression. I did a show on depression once, and I just find it fascinating that so many people out here in the world today are depressed. And that's why I did a show on depression. But hopefully he'll come on the show today in a few minutes maybe and talk about all of this. Maybe he can enlighten me a little bit more, enlighten you a little bit more. I would suggest you guys stay tuned for that, okay? And we're going to be talking about some things in the news. Do we have a smart quiz question today? No, it doesn't look like we're going to have one. We may have one tomorrow. I'm not sure. But Jeff Bearden would be on the show today. I always have a problem with people's names, folks' names. Okay, working under the names of Giant Warrior and Tiger Steel, Bearden entertained audiences all over the world, including audiences over 75,000. Wow, that's a lot of people. Though his wrestling career, he has experienced positive and negative, that he brings to his speeches. That's great. Whatever he has experienced in his life, whether it was positive or negative, he brings that spirit and that to his audience. Okay, Jeff Bearden has recently appeared on several Fox and ABC television shows across the country. That should be interesting. That should be very, very interesting. And I like having people on the show who have gone through atrocities in their lives, gone through things that have not gone right in their lives, gone through a lot of trauma, And then they come on the show and they talk about it and they use their experiences to try to help other people. It's great. That's wonderful. Although this is a political show, I mean, I have anybody and everybody who has something informative to bring to the audience, something informative and something we can learn that they can bring to the table. You know, that's what it's all about on the George Wilder Jr. Show. And I will be, one more time, I will be on the Road to Stardom show. I guess they're going to talk to me on how to be a star. That would be great. That would be interesting, right? Okay, next Sunday at 3 p.m. I'll call in before the show is actually off the air. So that's a good thing. I'm giving her plug a show because she gave my show a plug and she decided to follow me. And I also follow her show. And I can't wait for that. I can't wait. Okay, this is Martin Luther King Day. Okay, and let's see. Do we have that clip we want to play? Let's see. Take a break right here. I'm going to try and find that clip. Okay, you got about. This is Martin Luther King.
I have the honor to present to you.
Yeah, I have a dream speech. It's a beautiful speech.
I have the pleasure to present to you Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr.
I am happy to join with you today in what will go down in history as the greatest demonstration for freedom in the history of our nation. Five score years ago, a great American in whose symbolic shadow we stand today signed the Emancipation Proclamation. This momentous decree came as a great beacon light of hope to millions of Negro slaves who had been seared in the flames of withering injustice. It came as a joyous daybreak to end the long night of their captivity. But 100 years later, the Negro still is not free. 100 years later, the life of the Negro is still sadly crippled by the manacles of segregation and the chains of discrimination. 100 years later, the Negro lives on a lonely island of poverty in the midst of a vast ocean of material prosperity. 100 years later, the Negro is still languished in the corners of American society and finds himself in exile in his own land. And so we've come here today to dramatize a shameful condition. In a sense, we've come to our nation's capital to cash a check when the architects of our republic wrote the magnificent words of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. They were signing a promissory note which every American was to fall out. This note was a promise that all men, yes, black men as well as white men, would be guaranteed the unalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It is obvious today that America has defaulted on this promissory note insofar as her citizens of color are concerned. Instead of honoring this sacred obligation, America has given the Negro people a bad check, a check which has come back marked insufficient funds. But we refuse to believe that the Bank of Justice is bankrupt. We refuse to believe that there are insufficient funds in the great vaults of opportunity of this nation. So we've come to cash this check, a check that will give us upon demand the riches of freedom and the security of justice. We have also come to this hallowed spot to remind America of the fierce urgency of now. This is no time to engage in the luxury of cooling off or to take the tranquilizing drug of gradualism. Now is the time to make real the promises of democracy. Now is the time to rise from the dark and desolate valley of segregation to the sunlit path of racial justice. Now is the time to lift our nation from the quicksands of racial injustice to the solid rock of brotherhood. Now is the time to make justice a reality for all of God's children. It would be fatal for the nation to overlook the urgency of the moment. This sweltering summit of the Negro's legitimate discontent will not pass until that is an invigorating autumn of freedom and equality. 1963 is not an end, but a beginning. Those who hope that the Negro needed to blow off steam and will now be content will have a rude awakening if the nation returns to business as usual. There will be neither rest nor tranquility in America until the Negro is granted his citizenship rights. The whirlwinds of revolt will continue to shake the foundations of our nation until the bright day of justice emerges. But that is something that I must say to my people who stand on the warm threshold which leads into the palace of justice. In the process of gaining our rightful place, we must not be guilty of wrongful deeds. Let us not seek to satisfy our thirst for freedom by drinking from the cup of bitterness and hatred. We must forever conduct our struggle on the high plane of dignity and discipline. We must not allow our creative protests to degenerate into physical violence. Again and again, we must rise to the majestic heights of meeting physical force with soul force. The marvelous new militancy which has engulfed the Negro community must not lead us to a distrust of all white people. For many of our white brothers, as evidenced by their presence here today, have come to realize that their destiny is tied up with our destiny. They have come to realize that their freedom is inextricably bound to our freedom. We cannot walk alone. And as we walk, we must make the pledge that we shall always march ahead. We cannot turn back. There are those who are asking the devotees of civil rights, when will you be satisfied? We can never be satisfied as long as the Negro is the victim of the unspeakable horrors of police brutality. We can never be satisfied. As long as our bodies, heavy with the fatigue of travel, cannot gain lodging in the motels of the highways and the hotels of the cities. We cannot be satisfied. As long as the Negro's basic mobility is from a smaller ghetto to a larger one, we can never be satisfied. As long as our children are stripped of their selfhood and robbed of their dignity by signs stating for whites only. We cannot be satisfied as long as a Negro in Mississippi cannot vote and a Negro in New York believes he has nothing for which to vote. No, no, we are not satisfied and we will not be satisfied until justice rolls down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream. I am not unmindful that some of you have come here out of great trials and tribulations. Some of you have come fresh from narrow jail cells. Some of you have come from areas where your quest for freedom left you battered by the storms of persecution and staggered by the winds of police brutality. You have been the veterans of creative suffering. Continue to work with the faith that unearned suffering is redemptive. Go back to Mississippi. Go back to Alabama. Go back to South Carolina. Go back to Georgia. Go back to Louisiana. Go back to the slums and ghettos of our northern cities. Knowing that somehow this situation can and will be changed. Let us not wallow in the valley of despair. I say to you today, my friend, so even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day, even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day, down in Alabama, with its vicious racists, with its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification, one day right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted, and every hill and mountain shall be made low, the rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. This is our hope. This is the faith that I go back to the South with. With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. This will be the day. This will be the day when all of God's children be able to sing with new meaning, "My country, 'tis of thee." Sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride.
Yes, you like.
From every mountainside, let freedom ring. And if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. And so let freedom ring. From the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire, let freedom ring. From the mighty mountains of New York, let freedom ring. From the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania, let freedom ring. From the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado, let freedom ring. From the curvaceous slopes of California. But not only that, let freedom ring from Stone Mountain of Georgia. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and molehill of Mississippi, from every mountainside. Let freedom ring, and when this happens, and when we allow freedom ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, "Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last."
All right, that was great. I'm trying to hook up this audio. Hopefully, it's not going out on me. I don't think we have any construction going on, but the weather is so bad, anything could screw up here. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. This audio is still going. Let's see what we got here. Maybe it's not working. Uh-oh.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio.
Okay, we thought we was having some some difficulties, some technical difficulties. That happens every now and then when you're on internet radio, because when you're on the internet radio, things happen. And I know my listeners understand that because we've been through a lot together on those similarities, right? All right, so we just got through listening to Martin Luther King. We're going to be talking about him and some of his works throughout the show. All right, I Have a Dream. That was great. I love this speech. It just gives me goosebumps every time I hear it. And I think from that time on to now, I don't think we've done much in terms of race relations. I actually think they've gotten bad, worse. And I don't think we're gotten any better under Obama. I think things have gone south that he regrets in his State of the Union address, his last one, presumably, that he regrets that he could not unite the country. He regrets that he could not unite this country. And I regret that he could not unite it either. I'm pretty sure some of you regret that, but a lot of people in it, but that's my opinion. Those are my thoughts, okay? Because I remember in Obama's first term, I mean, we all thought Obama had just turned his back on African Americans and decided to become a Republican. You know, so I'm going to get into that a little bit later. That was his first term. He was trying so much for the Republicans to like him that he was turning his back on his base, if any of you guys remember that. But somehow he figured out, through all of that, he figured out that the Republicans really hated him and that they did not want him. So he trugged his own back over to his base. So that's true, because a lot of the Democrats during Obama's first term was disappointed in him so many times because he was siding with Republicans. He was giving up social programs to Republicans. He damn near gave up Social Security to the Republicans during his first term in office. And the only reason why I voted for Obama the second time, because I didn't want to see a Mitt Romney in there, okay? So things have gotten a lot worse, I think, and I'm pretty sure some of you out there think, since the Martin Luther King I Have a Dream speech. It's gotten a lot worse. Racism is all over the place. Racism is in your face. It's not hidden anymore. The racists will come out and tell you who they are and let us see who they are and say that they are racist. I mean, you take the upcoming Oscar Awards. Not one actor, not one African-American actor, and there's a lot, will be giving an Oscar this year, 2016. We'll be giving a Oscar. They just, you know, it's racist. It's racist. And a lot of the African-American actors and actresses, they say they are going to boycott it this year. Race relations have not gotten any better. Some people are saying we have the KKK in our United States Congress. It has gotten no better. I mean, you got these white police officers shooting these young kids in the back and lying about it on their reports. It has gotten no better. You know, corruption, in-your-face corruption. It has gotten no better. Okay, let's see. All right, we're going to take a break right here. I will be right back. Thank you for staying with me, all right?
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Black Talk Radio.
Just
You are listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on the Wilder Network, WTTTY, the talk of our times. You miss a show, you will miss a hell of a lot. Thank you for listening and stay with me.
All right. All right. We're still waiting for Jeff Bearden. He may show up. He may not show up. You know, things happen. You've got to, and you must always think that it's cold outside. That may have been one of the problems to why he couldn't keep his commitment for 6:30. But that doesn't mean he will not be on later. If not, then we're just going to have to move on. That's it. That's it, because this is Martin Luther King Day, and this day shouldn't be dampened by anything. You know, Jeff, if he comes, he comes. If he doesn't, he doesn't. It's the George Wilder Jr. Show. We'll move on. We're going to talk about the – I have a clip here I want to play. It's also a Martin Luther King clip, and this is the clip of his assassination. For all of you that people out there who do not know – much about the assassination of Martin Luther King. Something just popped on my computer screen here. Calls grow for Oscar boycott. Wow, this thing is getting out of control. They are really, really up in the ante on this. They're going to boycott this. The Oscars might wind up being emptied because I'm pretty sure that there's some Caucasian actors and actresses, they're going to support this boycott. And this has never happened before. I think last year they were saying that last year was the same thing. A lot of black actors and actresses were overlooked by the Oscars. And Chris Rock, he is hosting the Oscars this year. And he's calling it the White Oscars, you know, because there's no black actors or anything. So this thing is growing legs. It really is. And it may be something. They may have to cancel it, you know. Cancel for the first time in history, they're canceling the Oscars, you know. So I don't know. Will Smith is upset. His wife is upset that Will Smith wasn't given an Oscar for his performance in a movie called The Concussion. But Leonardo DiCaprio, I mean, his movie, The Revenant, seemed like that movie has won an Oscar in every single category. Leonardo, I mean, he's a shoo-in, but he's white, you know. So let me see what it says. We're clicking on it right now. See what something's popping up on the screen. Okay. I will be right back. I'm going to try and get this together. Stay with me. Okay, it says Jada Pinkett Smith boycotts Oscars for lack of diversity. What did you say, Denver?
I heard it.
Okay, update. Jada Pinkett Smith. She's not the only one that's boycotting the Oscars, as I've just said, but she's one of the main celebrities, actresses, that is doing this. I'm pretty sure she's going to bring along a lot of her fellow actors and actresses to also boycott the ceremony that's scheduled for, I'm believing, late February. Jada Pinkett Smith has announced that she will not be attending or watching the 2016 Academy Awards. I don't think I'm going to be watching it either. All right. In a video posted to Facebook Monday morning, Martin Luther King Jr. Day, the actress posed some powerful, thoughtful questions. And I quote her, "It is time that people of color recognize how much power, influence that we have amassed, that we no longer need to ask to be invited anywhere," she said in a video. "Maybe it's time," I quote, "maybe it's time that we recognize that if we love and respect and acknowledge ourselves in a way in which we are asking others to do, that is the place of true power." Oh, okay, all right. Pinkett called for a change, saying that it's pure, that it's our responsibility now to make the difference. Okay, I'm quoting her. She's also saying begging for acknowledgement or even asking diminishes dignity and diminishes power. And we are a dignified people and we are powerful, she said. Let's do this differently. Obviously, she's pissed off. She's totally pissed off. And probably a lot of other people are too. You know, fellow members of Hollywood, Spike Lee also addressed the Oscars controversy this morning, saying that he too will be skipping the awards show this year. Spike Lee, Chirac, do the right thing. In an Instagram post, the director condemned Hollywood execs for not using their power to bring more stories about people of color to the big screen. What are we seeing on the big screen now? Avengers, Iron Man, Thor. A lot of these movies do have some blacks in them, but they're not actually about blacks. They're not black stories, but they're, you know, there's black actors in some of those comic book movies. They're not the stars, but you know, I guess black actors and actresses black actors and actresses have to take a job where they can get it. All right. Okay. I'm looking at Jada Pinkett Smith. Okay. The following backlash of yet another year of Oscars so white. Wow. They're calling it Oscars so white. Jada Pinkett expressed her dismay on the awards' lack of diversity. And that's lack of diversity in Hollywood and on the Oscar show has been going on for years, you know, but they're trying to change stuff now. I don't know if they can, because in this day and age, racism is pure. Racism is in your face. It's out there. No one's hiding themselves anymore. And I've heard people say, you know, are you better off now than you were before Barack Obama became president? And like I said in the beginning, no, I don't think anybody's better off. I think a lot of people out here are worse off. A lot of people are disappointed in Obama. There's people out here saying Obama is the best president there ever was. Yeah, he saved the auto industry. He brought us out of the economic decline that George W. Bush put us in. But he himself has said that he regrets that he couldn't bring people together. Hey, he's got another year in office. He can still do it. It can still happen. You know, so don't put yourself down yet, Mr. President. You still have another year in office. One more year. You can bring people together. but I don't think he will because I don't think his heart is into it. Okay. The Magic Mike actress. Okay, Jada Pinkett Smith is 44 years old. She looks great for 44. Man. And she sent out a series of tweets over the weekend. Okay, here's one of them. At the Oscars, people of color are always welcome to give out awards, but they even entertain, but we are rarely recognized for our artistic accomplishments, she wrote. Adding, should people of color refrain from participating altogether? She continued, people can only treat us in a way in which we are allow. Exactly, I agree. With respect in the midst of deep disappointment. That is something. Black people are giving out awards to other people, to white people, but black people aren't getting the awards. They're not the ones receiving the awards. Okay, she's tweeted, if I can read it again. At the Oscars, people of color are always welcome to give out awards, but they give them out, right? But they're not receiving them for the hard work that they do on the screen. That's interesting. That's interesting. And I'm going to follow this. I'm really going to follow this and going to actually wonder if the Oscars, 2016 Oscars award ceremonies are actually going to take place. It may be, this is going to be historical, folks. This is really going to be historical. This is the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live on Black Talk Radio out of Chicago. Thank you for archiving the show. Thank you for downloading the show. Thank you for sending your feedback on whether it's the show or something that I've written or published. Thank you so much. I, you know, really relish all of that. You know, even if it's criticized, even if you can criticize me if you want to, that's okay. It might be criticism that I can learn from, constructive criticism. You know, I mean, long as you're sending me some sort of feedback, I totally appreciate it because that's the only way that I or anybody else can get better, you know. And thanks for that. Thanks for downloading. Thank you for archiving the show. Thank you for telling your friends about it. Thank you for sharing this show and sharing whatever I do with other people. If you think what I do, say, and write is worth sharing, that's great. That's wonderful. Thank you, everybody, for doing that. This is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show, and I will be right back. Stay with me, everybody. right. Happy birthday, Martin Luther King. Happy birthday. Actually, his birthday was Friday, 3 days ago, okay? They're kind of celebrating it on Monday so everybody can have a chance to be off of work and have a good time on his birthday. But his birthday was actually 3 days ago. And this show is being recorded and podcast and downloaded on Monday, the 18th of January, 2016. In case you later on you're archiving the show, you will know the date of the show that you're archiving. Okay. KKK steps up recruitment in Alabama over the MLK weekend. Wow. Now, that's that is like a slap in the face of the celebration of Martin Luther King. The Ku Klux Klan recruiting is a hate group of African Americans, the Ku Klux Klan. They're recruiting in Alabama. They're recruiting all over the United States, not just in Alabama. Hate groups are everywhere, and they're out, like I said, they're out in your face. They are not hiding, telling you that. Flyers looking to recruit new members into the Ku Klux Klan begin circulating flyers, okay? Looking to recruit new members into, I have to read that again because it's astonishing. Looking to recruit new members, okay? There's a bunch of old ones, but these are new members into the Ku Klux Klan begin circulating in a neighborhood of Mobile, Alabama at the start of the Martin Luther King Day weekend. Messages stuffed inside sandwich bags, which were first reported by the TV station WPMI, compared the white supremacist hate group to civil rights organizations like the NAACP. Wow, that's gotta hurt. I don't know. It's just blacks have NAACP, the Mexicans have La Raza, the Jews have JDL, and the white people have the KKK, said the leaflets. Man, which also wished a happy birthday to Dr. King. This is just sad. This is totally sad. All of these, this hate group, you know, they just couldn't go by without spitting on Martin Luther King. This KKK and other hate groups around the United States. This is totally sad. Well, it looks like my guest is not going to show up, Jeff Bearden. I don't know, maybe there's something happened. Maybe the cold weather got to him or something, a car broke down, it's frozen or something. I don't know, but Jeff is not going to be here on the show. Maybe we can get him for maybe we can get this guy for next time if that happens. Jeff Bearden, okay? Okay, so we're going to stop talking about him because he's not going to be here. So I guess it's just going to be me and you. And my phone number, if you want to call in, chime in on this on Martin Luther King Day, 347-857-1762. And you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. Follow me on Facebook, Twitter, Block Talk Radio, Google. I'm all over the place. Check me out on Amazon.com. Download some of the stuff that I've written. Some of that stuff is very, very good. If you have any criticism of anything that I write, hey, inbox me, call me, you know, email me, whatever, and let me know your criticism, and I will take it at heart. You know, so I get criticized, you know, and I learn from it. I really do. And that's great, but, you know, let me know if you're criticizing me, criticizing the show, criticizing what I write and what I produce and what I publish. That's fine, you know, because just like you, it's all about getting better. It's all about getting better. Okay, let's move right along back on KKK steps up recruitment in Alabama. This is nutty. This is all over the. And you think about Donald Trump. The KKK is all. I mean, they are going to vote for Donald Trump. There's no doubt about it. Because Donald Trump supporters are filled with hate mongers, people who are uneducated, people who are stupid, people who are uninformed, and people who are happy to be uninformed. And it's horrible. People are looking at the United States as, you know, as one of those countries that, you know, can't seem to find itself. You know, and the hate, and Obama admitting in his State of the Union address that he could not bring America together. Actually, since Obama's presidency, America is more divided than ever. And this is Martin Luther King Day. Everything, just about everything that he talked about or accomplished during the civil rights movement is laughable, just about, with what we have today, with what's going on today. And I just love that I have a dream speech. I mean, I think it's just great. I think it's wonderful. And, you know, the world, I mean, I'm just breathless at how we have not come so far as we thought we have came so far. It's not looking good.
April the 4th, 1968, Memphis, Tennessee, 6:15 p.m. U.S. civil rights leader Dr. Martin Luther King is rushed to hospital after being shot. He's badly wounded. At the time, King is a towering figure, known throughout the world for his inspired direction of the U.S. civil rights movement. But in his high-profile fight to win more rights for America's black community, especially in the Deep South, King has also earned the undying hatred of a cabal of violent white extremists who despise him and all he stands for. They see him as a threat to their way of life. They want him out of the way. But would they go so far as trying to get him killed? April the 3rd, 1968, Atlanta, mid-morning. King flies to Memphis and checks into the Lorraine Motel. He's come to lend his support to a group of black city sanitation workers. He's been behind them since February, when they went on strike demanding better pay and conditions. Now King is determined to get them a good deal. That evening, King heads for the Mason Temple, where he gives a typically powerful, yet strangely prophetic, address.
Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And He's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over. And I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you. But I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. So I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.
It will become one of King's most famous speeches. But it sounds almost as if he'd received a death threat. The son of a preacher, Martin Luther King Jr., was born in Atlanta, Georgia, on January the 15th, 1929. By the time he's 24, King is himself a preacher, working at a Baptist church in Montgomery, Alabama. 2 years later, Montgomery would become known throughout the world when, on December the 1st, 1955, Rosa Parks, a 42-year-old black seamstress, refuses to give up her seat on a bus to a white man. Under what are known at the time as Jim Crow laws, She's arrested, charged, and eventually fined $10 with $4 costs. This case causes outrage, not just in the southern states, but throughout the country's entire black community. And in Montgomery itself, King decides that his people have been pushed around enough, the Rosa Parks incident being the latest in a long line of similar humiliations and violence. He organizes what becomes known as the Montgomery Bus Boycott. It will last 13 months, during which time black people steadfastly refuse to use the city's buses. The issue is finally resolved on December the 13th, 1956, when the U.S. Supreme Court rules that Alabama state and local policy on segregation is unlawful. 7 days later, King takes a ride on a bus, sitting at the front in seats previously reserved for whites only. By now, he's a national figure. A firm believer in nonviolence, he spearheads the country's rapidly growing civil rights movement under the umbrella of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, more commonly known as the SCLC. A passionate and powerful orator, he works ceaselessly and tirelessly on behalf of the black community. Meanwhile, as King's stature steadily increases, a man is sitting out a prison term in Leavenworth, Kansas. James Earl Ray, an habitual criminal, has been in and out of various prisons most of his adult life, since being discharged from the U.S. Army in December 1948 for what was described as ineptness and lack of adaptability for military service. However, the Army gave him something. It taught him how to use a rifle. Ray's life could scarcely be more different from that of King. But one day in the future, they will come together in dramatic circumstances. In 1961, convinced that the civil rights movement is being infiltrated by communists, FBI Director J. Edgar Hoover gives orders to tap King's phones and keep close tabs on him wherever he goes. The surveillance would continue for the next 6 years. August the 28th, 1963, Washington, D.C. King leads a march through the nation's capital calling for jobs and freedom. Earlier, President John F. Kennedy had opposed the march, thinking it would impact negatively on civil rights legislation. But in the end, he's persuaded to let it go ahead. Despite Kennedy's earlier misgivings, the march, involving around 250,000 people, passes off without incident. And that evening, King, standing on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial, delivers an address which electrifies the nation.
I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream. My four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today.
The speech consolidates King's already towering stature. Even President Kennedy, shortly to be assassinated himself, congratulates him. But there are those, particularly FBI Director J. Edgar Hoover, who, alarmed at King's success, wish to discredit him. July the 2nd, 1964, the White House, Washington, D.C. Martin Luther King arrives to witness an historic event. The new president, Lyndon B. Johnson, signs the groundbreaking Civil Rights Act. At a stroke, racial segregation is outlawed throughout the U.S.
This Civil Rights Act is a challenge to all of us to go to work in our communities and our states, in our homes and in our hearts, to eliminate the last vestiges of injustice in our beloved country.
But a great many Southern diehards regard the act, and King's part in it, as the ultimate betrayal. Now they're faced with the unpalatable fact that the Civil Rights Act makes black Americans their equals in the eyes of the law. And the one person they blame above all others, Martin Luther King. He now encounters growing hostility and violence wherever he goes. His life is in constant danger as tension mounts. December the 10th, 1964, Norway. King's considerable achievements are, however, recognized elsewhere when he's awarded the Nobel Peace Prize. April the 23rd, 1967, Missouri. A man escapes from the state penitentiary in Jefferson City after serving 7 years of a 20-year sentence for robbing a grocery store. It's James Earl Ray. April the 4th, 1968, Memphis. James Earl Ray, giving his name as John Willard, checks into a boarding house on South Main Street. The Lorraine Motel, Memphis, early evening. Martin Luther King is standing alone on the balcony of his room while his companions gather inside. Little does he know, he's being observed by a man intent on killing him. Suddenly a shot rings out and King collapses. The Reverend Samuel Kiles recalls the tragic event.
And when I looked around, all I could see was the lower half of Dr. King's body, because it threw him back into this, beyond this point. And when I looked, I just saw his leg, his foot was on the rail. He was lying in this position. And I distinctly remember looking at him. I don't think I touched him. I looked at him. And I remember, it's sort of like you get a complete look in one moment. And I remember the necktie, the knot of his tie had been severed, just cut, and was laying open. There was a tremendous wound right here where the bullet went in.
A team of medics get to work on King, but there's nothing they can do to save him. He's just too badly wounded and dies less than an hour later.
All right, that's the assassination of Martin Luther King, and you're on the George Wilder Jr. Show. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Martin Luther King Day, January 18, 2016. And I thought that this show would be Martin Luther King. And I'm finding out that the KKK in Alabama distributing flyers among the residents to join the cult, the hateful supremacist group. That is a total slap in the face of Martin Luther King. It's a slap in the face of those who love and who have marched and walked and died alongside of Martin Luther King. That's a shame. Okay, the station reported that one resident estimated that 50 neighbors received a flyer from the hate group, KKK. They call themselves the Loyal White Knights chapter of the KKK. They're based in North Carolina. Wow. And it's a reminiscence of the past KKK leaflet campaigns. They've done this before. Such as the last year in Selma. Last year they did one in Selma. Remember that great march in Selma? He marched across the bridge. Wow. In Montgomery, Alabama, that coincided with the 50th anniversary of the Bloody Sunday March for Voting Rights led by King. This is crazy. The hate in this country is just astronomical. It's monumental. It's unbelievable. And then you got politicians. If you watch the debate last night, that was the debate, the Democratic debate. I think it was their fourth debate before the actual primaries. They have the voting caucus primaries. And Bernie Sanders says something that really got me. that you got so many people in Congress who do not represent the people that put their asses there. And I've been saying that for months and months and months on this show, that majority of the people who we vote into elected off, they don't do what we want. They don't do as we say. And we put their asses in office. We're responsible for their salaries. Yet they turn a blind eye against us and go with the lobbyists, go with Wall Street. He's right. They don't represent us. They don't want to represent us, but they need us for our votes to get their asses in office, to get their paychecks so they can take care of their families, and then decide to be corrupt. Then we got to throw their asses out, and that looks bad. So in the upcoming presidential election for 2016, my vote is behind Bernie Sanders. There's no doubt about that. I saw Hillary Clinton on the debate last night, actually, at the date of this broadcast. And she was stretching the truth even on national television. And the thing about it, the debate was held on Sunday, the same time as the football. It was right smack dab there in the middle of playoff football. And I'm saying to myself, why does the DMC schedule like this? Debbie Wasserman Schultz. Most of us feel that she should go. She doesn't know what she's doing. She's incompetent. Why would you want to hide such an important debate? The Republicans, how many viewers did they get? They got about 24 million viewers. The Democratic debate last night, 10,000. That's not bad, but I mean, not 10,000, but 10 million. That's not bad, but that's nowhere near. That's about half of what the Republicans got. The only reason why, because Debbie Wasserman Schultz choose to have the debates on nights where not many people are watching. And then she tries to defend that. She has to go. She has to go. I mean, that was totally unacceptable. But anyway, I watched it. And the parts that I did not watch, I caught on YouTube. And Bernie Sanders totally outshined her. Bernie Sanders damn near called Hillary Clinton a liar in front of her face on his health care initiative. He called her a liar. I mean, the moderator asked Clinton a question during the health care, on the health care thing. And she talked and she talked and she talked. And Bernie Sanders looked at her and said, Hillary did not answer the question. And that's classic Hillary. She will not answer your question. She'll talk over the question. She'll talk under it. She'll talk in between it. But she will never answer it. And then she'll look at you like you're crazy. I've just said some things. That's classic Hillary. You don't know where she stands because all she do is have words coming out of her mouth. Sounding good, but never, ever answering the question. Clinton is Wall Street. She's Walmart. I mean, she is, I think she was on the board of the Walmart. She is not right for the country. Are not with her. Young people are with Bernie Sanders. I mean, this is crazy. She is not the one we want. We want Bernie Sanders. And she's trying to smear him, lie on him, embarrass him, and Bernie and his camp, they are not having it. They are not having it. Governor Martin O'Malley in the debate, he was pretty good. He was good. He doesn't have a chance in hell, but he was good. And unlike a lot of other people who watch debate, any one of them, three of them, any one of them could be president of the United States. Hillary, I don't trust Hillary. I'm starting not to believe Hillary. This has been going on with Hillary for years. And you try to push some of the bad things under the rug that you've heard about Hillary over the years, and you push some of the things under the rug that you – and you want to support her because anything, any one of them is better than a Republican. That is no doubt about that. But Hillary is so untrustworthy. She's so untrue. And it just came off big time in the debate last night. So I want to say to everybody out there, vote Bernie Sanders, okay? Vote. Because if you don't vote, if you do not vote, a Republican is what you're going to get. And if you get a Republican, this country is going to, in the White House, if you get a Republican in the White House, this country is going to change dramatically. You're talking about the wrong direction now. There won't be a direction if a Republican gets the White House in 2016. And as I've stated before, Obama has stated himself that he regret he could not unite the country. 8 years. Well, it'll be 8 years. And he's saying he could not unite the country. I think that's a failure. A lot of people are going to disagree with me, but that's fine. That's okay. That's how I feel about it. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. Stay with me, everybody. I will be right back.
Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago.
Looking at the happy birthday flyer that the KKK was distributing among residents, a few residents in Alabama, and it says at the top, "Happy birthday, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. We also have a dream." It's a flyer trying to recruit, as I mentioned, people to join the cult. You know, so. It's sad, people. It is really sad in the United States. There's things like this still going on, and things like this is totally getting worse and worse and worse in this country. And Obama has not brought people together. He's actually alienated them or drew them further apart. And with the inclusion of Donald Trump, who is actually also dividing the country, the United States is just going down the tubes, not just Illinois, but the whole country. But we're here to try to save it. Okay, we're going to try to do our best to save it. But people have to get up off their asses and do something. You want this country, get up off your asses and get out there and work for it. Nothing is going to come. There's so many people out here complaining about the country, complaining about politicians, complaining about corruption, complaining about how things are, complaining about unfairness. But they're not doing anything. They're just complaining. If you want your ass to be constantly kicked, then do nothing. That's what's going to happen. You do nothing but sit around, get fat, and complain. And don't vote, then you have nothing actually to argue about or nothing to complain about because you're not a part of the system. I just don't understand it. All right, I want to say once again, I apologize. My guest did not show up today. That could have been any problem whatsoever. It could have been the cold weather, flat tire, motor went out or something, you know. If he drives at all, I have no clue, but I'm just trying to come up with some sort of scenarios to why he didn't show up today. Basically, all he had to do was just call in, you know. So, but I apologize for that if anybody was waiting on him, Jeff Burden. So I apologize for that. But, you know, things happen. It's cold. It's very cold, and it's Martin Luther King Day. Happy birthday once again to Dr. Martin Luther King. And the hate is just, I mean, I just, it's just out of this world. It really is. And this is why I play this song every night before I actually go off the air. All right. Hopefully it'll get better. 347-857-1762. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. At the screen, the computer screen, and calls for, it says right here, calls for grow. I mean, crawl, if I can say, and I just got through drinking coffee, so that might be the problem. Or the problem is that my tongue is probably frozen. And I want to say once again, happy birthday to Martin Luther King. I'm pretty sure he's up in heaven and he's frowning down on us. Because there's so much hate, racism, and senseless shootings and killings and all over the world. And I'm pretty sure he's probably frowning or turning over in his grave that his dream has just been sped on, you know, But, you know, I can't say if things are going to get better or not. I don't know. I mean, because when I voted for Obama, the first time, I thought that things were going to get better. I thought he was going to come in and just shake. All right. I mean, you got to give Obama credit for some things. Like I said at the beginning of the show or in between of the show, he saved the auto industry. He brought the economy back. And he'd done a whole host of other things. But as pulling the country together, no. Stopping the hatred, no. Getting involved in, truly involved in African-American issues, no. I know some people are going to disagree with me, but that's fine. I mean, disagreement is fine. That's how you learn, and that's how I learn. Because everything that I say, I don't expect people to agree with me all the time. Someone just whispered in my ear, George, you got 60 minutes. I hope you guys join me tomorrow on the show. I really do. And happy Martin Luther King, George Wilder Jr. show. And I hope you're here tomorrow. All right. Bye-bye, everybody. Take care. Okay.